Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
This was wonderful. To see your practice sitting. What is that? The practice of sitting. To me, the practice of sitting is a practice of coming back to your true self, to be truly yourself. Nothing to look for, just truly be yourself. And when you are truly yourself, when you are completely yourself, you don't suffer. So sitting is a moment of non-suffering. It's a very beautiful moment. When you suffer during the sitting, you're not practicing sitting. It looks like you are practicing sitting, but you are not. If you really practice sitting, you're truly yourself, you don't suffer. Because the moment you are truly yourself, you are deeply connected with life. You're no longer separated from life. The moment you are really yourself, at the same time you are me. When I truly myself, I am you. And I don't suffer. Every time I can be you, I don't suffer anymore. That's why I'm very happy every time I see you. When I really see you, I really see myself. When I really see myself, I really see you. And the moment when there is no more separation between you and me, you stop suffering and I also stop suffering. If you suffer a lot, you need to sit down and be truly yourself. I came into the Zendo, and a friend asked me to bow to our teacher. And when I bowed to our teacher, I was free from my suffering. At that moment, there is no any separation between me and our teacher, between me and you, between me and life. So when you come in and you bow to your teacher and you still suffer, it means you are not bowing. You're doing something, but you're not bowing. Looks like you're bowing, you're not. If you really bow, you do so, you bow, you become very humble. The only way to be humble is to be free from separation between you and me. If you still see any separation between you and me, you're not humble. Even you say, I'm nobody, you're not humble. In Buddhism, When you say I'm better than you, you're not humble. When you say I'm equal, I'm as good as you, you're not humble. When you say I'm less than you, you're not humble either. The only way to be humble is when you see there's no way to compare you and me. We are deeply connected. And that moment, you experience a kind of freedom, completely free from your suffering. You have to try. Sit in such a way, walk in such a way, bow in such a way, talk in such a way, listen in such a way, that there is no more separation between you and the other. And you can stop suffering in you and also in other people. The first moment I encountered a prisoner, it was in Holland. There was a Buddhist prison chaplain. I've been a monk for 16 years before that, under the guidance of a Zen teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh. You may know him. Have you seen him? Anyone has seen Zen teacher Thich Nhat Hanh? Anyone? You do?
On TV.
Who? You have? Wonderful. I was born in the war child, 1968, Vietnam War. And I came to the West with the war, the bullets, the bombs, the anger, fear in me. I didn't know that. I thought, oh, it's normal. You are afraid, you are angry, you suffer, that's normal. Maybe you think suffering is normal. You think it's okay, everybody suffer, everybody dies. You might think dying is normal, right? I thought the same. I thought suffering is normal, angry is normal, separation is normal. Until I met my teacher. It was in 1987. I was 19. And for the first time, I met a peaceful human being, peaceful human being. And I say, wow, that is possible. And every step he made, he printed the peace on the earth. He kissed the earth with every step. Every step. He had written a book. It calls Peace is Every Step. You should read that book. Beautiful book. But I saw that. He was a Zen teacher himself. I saw that. You could say that he was a publisher because he printed peace on earth. He printed. And I said, I discovered for the first time that peace, non-suffering, non-fear, non-separation is possible. Can you imagine that? Possible. You should practice with that strong belief, strong insight, that peace, non-suffering, freedom, non-fear, No separation is possible. That's how you should go to that corner to sit down. Now, I'm not afraid anymore. I have no fear anymore. No separation. And I practice under the guidance of my Zen teacher. I was a very slow student. But the moment that I came in the prison to work as a prison Buddhist prison chaplain, I understood that art of non-suffering, non-fear. I understood. And I applied it in an environment you can call a hell. If you say, does the hell exist? It does. Prison is a hell. And where's the prison? Do you know any prison? Does anyone know any prison? Do we have a prison here? Where? Yes. Very good. In your mind. And the first person I met, there was a young man of 22 years old. He just committed a murder. He was in hell, and he was in the prison. He couldn't make any contact with himself, with life, with his family. No contact. No connection. He was completely lost in his fear, anger, frustration. Anger. Not only also anger towards himself. Why did I commit a murder? And because he couldn't make any connection with life, they didn't know what to do with him. And so the director of the prison, he sent him to me. Sent him to the chaplain to see what he can do for this person. And what did I do? I did nothing. I came in. I saw the young man, 22 years old, and I saw myself. A boy full with fear, anger, frustration. And I didn't know what to do, what to say. So I came back. As I had the practice of a monk, so I came back to my own breathing. I came back to myself. Came back to myself. Breathing in, that's what my teacher taught me. Breathing in, breathing out, be yourself, be true yourself. And the more I was truly myself, the more I was him. We became connected. I could feel his confusion, his fear, his anger, and yet at the same time there was no any separation between him and me. No separation. And once there is no separation, when you are able to connect with life in such a way that there is no separation, at the same time there is no suffering. I sat there with him. There was a lot of suffering, but the moment that I could connect myself with him, there was no more suffering. No more suffering in me and no more suffering in him. For the first time, he could come back to his pain and suffering with an energy you call compassion. When there is no separation, it means there is no suffering. There is only compassion there. When you suffer a lot, when you suffer a lot, and you come back to yourself, the moment you can touch yourself, really touch, you can deeply get in touch with yourself, suffering disappears. What you would feel instead of suffering is only suffering, only compassion. It's not the same as suffering. Suffering is when you are disconnected. You call suffering. When you're connected, you call that compassion. You still feel the pain, but in a compassionate way. It's not the same anymore. And I sat there with him, with the young man, and I say, please practice with me breathing. That's all I say. And he practiced with me, and we sat there. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say. Only we both sat there in silence, practicing breathing. And then something wonderful happened. Not one time, but many times. But that was the first time, and I wrote that in the book. I record all the stories, many stories in the book. Because it happened after 20 minutes, I felt happiness in me and in him. I could feel that after 20 minutes. I look at him, I say, wonderful. And he say, thank you. We didn't say much, but we could understand each other deeply. He said, thank you. And from that moment, he changed. He could make contact with his pain, his suffering with compassion. He could connect, make connection with all the prisoners. He cooked for them. And the director of the prison was very surprised. So he asked me, what did you do? And I said, nothing. We don't need to do much. We don't need to do much. And again, I have discovered one thing. There is one thing I have discovered and want to share with you. Because we believe that suffering may last forever, that's why I've seen many people who suffered 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. There was a girl. She was sexually abused as a young girl, and 10 years he had been helped by experts, and she could come out her suffering, her pain. And so her father, he knew me, so he sent her daughter to me, say, let's have a talk with Quang Lu, maybe it can help. And she came to me. And after the first session of 1 hour, she came home. This man, he understands me. He understands me. Daddy, he understands me. And after 5 sessions of 5 hours, she said to her father, I'm completely healthy now. 5 hours instead of 10 years, 5 hours. But in fact, she was already healthy after 20 minutes. I don't know why. 20 minutes. Every time I notice suffering, when you touch suffering with compassion, it can only last for 20 minutes. So if you ask, how long can suffering last in your life? You ask me, I say 20 minutes. Not more. Not more than 20 minutes. Not longer than 20 minutes. If your son is suffering, if your husband is suffering, if you are suffering, if you really come back to yourself, suffering can only last for 20 minutes. Only lasts for 20 minutes. Because I have discovered one thing. and happiness is there in you. Insight is there in you. Wisdom is there in you. You have everything you are looking for in life. You just allow suffering to go on. You just allow your anger to go on. You just allow your frustration to go on. And that's what you call prison. So the real prison is not the four walls or the doors. I counted the doors when I came to my office in the prison. I counted the doors. One door, three doors, two doors, three doors, 13 doors before I could reach my office. Very thick doors, and you have to push a button, and you wait. Wait. And I always practice breathing when I waited. And I click, door open, you come. Thank you. 13 doors. That's not the worst thing, that you are locked in with the 13 doors. The worst thing is you are locked in here. And I have seen that when I'm really there as myself, as my true self, and I always discover a true Buddha in the criminal. A criminal can never be a criminal for a long time. In fact, that the criminal is a criminal for a long time because he has not seen something else in him. You understand? When you suffer too long because you've never get in touch with true happiness in you. Just one moment, 1 second, 1 minute, 10 minutes, you are able to get in touch with your true happiness, which is there in you, you are changed. It's like me, I saw a peaceful man, Thich Nhat Hanh, and my life changed. See, that's possible. It's possible. It is possible to be yourself. It is possible to be happy. It is possible to get in touch with your wisdom. It's possible to be free from all your suffering. It's possible to help the other to recognize his insight, his happiness, and his wisdom, his freedom. It's possible. And when you read the stories, and in that moment you say, this is impossible. You're beautiful. But you know, it cannot be truth. It cannot be true. But you know that is the truth, because I'm just telling the truth in the books. It is not being published by Buddhist publishing house. It's published by a political publishing house. Publisher I met 10 days ago, in New York, he said, when I read the book, he said, this is just a beautiful political idea. We are all Buddhas. Equanimity. And he published it. And it is he's only just published for 6 months in April. Now it's in July. About how many months? 3-4 months. April, July, yeah. And it is already being translated into 5 languages, including Chinese, with 1 billion readers. And I would like to share with this book, I will share to each reader, each human being, you have the wisdom. You have the wisdom to free yourself. You have the wisdom to free yourself from confusion, suffering, from fear, and you have the wisdom to recognize in the other. And a criminal, in one moment, I could show him that he has the wisdom, the happiness, and believe me, many times I didn't say much. If you come home tonight as a free person, a happy person, and other members of your family can feel it. If the other member of your family is angry, you just come back to yourself. You don't need to react. You don't need to do anything. You just come back to yourself. And you say, suffering is okay because I have insight. Thanks to the insight, the suffering is being transformed into compassion. And it can last. It can last only for 20 minutes. If it lasts longer than 20 minutes, you really practice being yourself, and it lasts longer than 20 minutes, email me and say, Quang Lu, you are a liar. But I'm not a liar. I'm telling the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is you are the Buddha. You have the insight of the Buddha. Why United States? Why here? Because I see this is a wonderful country. When it's being wake up as a Buddha, because when you wake up and you are connected with society, then you are the society. When you are wake up, and the whole society is also wake up. If this society wake up, it can do wonderful things for our blue planet. And this society, if it does not wake up, I have known how it was. 1968. I was a child of war. I don't come from there. I come from there, from the hell. I come from there, from the hell. And I come to beg you, please practice to save yourself, to save your family, to save society, and to save this beautiful planet. That is the only way to reverse the global warming. To make use of your wisdom, of your happiness, of your beautiful smile, of your silence, of your freedom. And by that way, you can wake up the whole society. Practice that. This is really a practice. I want to come back. Come back. I want to offer 5 days retreat for Buddhist on Buddhist psychology. So this what I'm telling you is based on Buddhist psychology. We can explain it clearly why it's like that. When we understand the nature of our consciousness, we understand why we cling to suffering when we believe that suffering is always there. When we understand the nature of our consciousness, we can be free from our consciousness, which is fooling us every day. I want to practice with you. But you don't need to wait. You have here a beautiful teacher, beautiful Sangha, beautiful Zendo. You come, you sit. Every time you sit, please be free. And you don't need to sit to be free. You can walk as a free person, talk, act, live together as a free person. When you're happy, when you're helping yourself, you're helping me. And I say, thank you, friend. Thank you very much. I need your freedom so much. We have, you know how many prisoners we have in the States? 2 million. Imagine. Let's dream. We are allowed to dream. Imagine. One day we have 2 million Buddhas. It's possible. A criminal can be a Buddha in one single second. He has that capacity. He has that like you. We are all equal. We do have that capacity. We do have. We don't make use of it. We have too much stress, frustration, depression, burnout, because we don't make use of our power. So this is a book about prisoners. It's a book about, in fact, if you read and you see, this is a book about me. I was that prisoner. And it's a book about you. It's a book about us. It's a book about the power we have and we never make use of. One day, after a few months when I practiced as a prison chaplain in the prison, and one day the director came to me and said, "Quang Lu, I believe the reduce of violence in our prison has to do with your practice, the practice of your group. I cannot prove it, but I believe." And I said to him, I said, "Bring the equipment here and I can prove it and let you see it. With the technique we have today, we can prove it. I can prove how a prisoner can free his suffering within 20 minutes. And you too. If you suffer, you are allowed to suffer. But if you have the practice, and then you only can suffer 20 minutes. And then you must nourish yourself with the energy of happiness, of freedom. If you don't do that, you get hungry. Your soul get hungry. And I and the society get hungry. And a person who does awful things to society because he was too hungry. Why is he so hungry? Because we don't nourish him with spiritual food, with happiness, with freedom. And if you are hungry, you can cause suffering to yourself, not only for yourself, but also to your beloved ones. So don't be hungry. Nourish yourself every day. Every day. You can do it. I know. And I beg you to do it. To beg you to make use of your power, of your freedom, and nourish yourself with freedom and happiness. Because every time I look at you, I see your true essence. I see you. Believe me, I really see you. You are the Buddha."
I'm curious as to what were the challenges of your work in prison. I'd love to hear the story that you told about the first prisoner that you met, but I wonder, were there times when you felt that you couldn't get through to people?
There was one time, one occasion, there was a man who saw ghosts, and he couldn't sleep. It's the medical department, they have discovered that we can help, so they send people, they couldn't help, to me. And there was a man, he saw ghosts, because during the night, it's very fearful in a prison, because during the night, you are a major man, you make people believe you're not afraid for anything, but you don't take care for your suffering, and during the night, it comes up in many forms. And that man, he saw ghosts around him, and he could not sleep, he could not eat. And he came to me, and I practiced being with him, say, "Let's practice breathing." And he said, I cannot feel anything, Quang Lu. I cannot feel. But I believe in you. But I cannot feel anything. And when someone cannot feel anything, then I thought, what can I do? There was a very special case. And I said, "But do you want to come back?" He said, "Yes, I will come back." And they came back. Come back. But the third time, he made the breakthrough. And he could say, "Now I can feel. I can get the connection with the ancestors. My father, grandfather." And then from that moment, he felt the solidity, have found the kind of home in him. It's a home. We all have a home. When you can come back to yourself, you come back to your home, to my home too. We all have a home to come back. And in this case, he could come back to his true home. And then he told me the stories of suffering of his father, mother, grandpa, of his ancestor. And I understood why he couldn't feel too much. But I didn't give up. I didn't give up. In fact, there was already transformation during the first session. And sometimes you don't see it. But it takes place. And by the third time, he make profound breakthrough. That was one case. And if you ask me about another case when I couldn't help, there was the person who came to me. He was sent by a director again. And he came to me and he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the Buddhist, because I have there the Muslims, the Christian, the humanists, and everybody who could make use of my help." And in this case was a Muslim. And he said, "Who are you then?" I said, "I am a Buddhist prison chaplain." He said, "I don't want to see you. I only want to see the Imam." And then you can help. Only that two cases. If people came and are open to you, they must feel the change in themselves. When you sometimes you give someone something, your love, and you have the feeling like he doesn't accept yours, but nobody can resist true love. Nobody. Don't give up. You might think, okay, you don't say thank you, you don't say it, you help me, you, because when we help and we expect a positive feedback, there is still separation. If there is no separation, you don't expect anything. You just send true love, and nobody can resist your true love. Nobody. If you have found your true self, you nourish yourself and the other with true love. Because there's no separation, the other person cannot resist. Nobody can resist. And that is what I've seen in the prison. And one more thing I would like to say is prisoners are very sensitive. They understand the Dharma quicker than many people outside I've met. They've suffered deeper and they're very sensitive. One day I passed by a cell and a prisoner came out. He didn't know me and he said, "Wow, you see the light." I said to him, "Yes, in you. In you, not in me, in you. In each prisoner, I could see the light. Like in each human being." So that was my answer to your question. Thank you.
Thank you for your talk. Also very nice to meet you in person. And
thank you.
Because a couple of months ago, I listened to Oprah have a conversation with your teacher on YouTube, talk about how to forgive.
How to forgive.
How to forgive. And there's a fourth stage of forgiveness. And then I have to come up with the last one, which is a really tough one. Again, I'm just thrilled to see you. My question is, that's what you said. Actually, prisoner to me is much easier, okay, than normal person, because they're in a such acute situation, and they're very sensitive. But I think my question is about normal people, actually. Where in daily life, normal people don't even have that realization that how many layers of the prison we're in.
Yes.
You know, and before you offer love, you know how many scrubbing you have to scrub yourself before you get to your true self. I guess my question is, when you're scrubbing yourself, plus you have this anger, fear. By the way, those stuff is really powerful. Anger, fear.
Yes.
Greed.
Yes.
They're really powerful stuff. You know, they keep growing. Yes, you have 20 minutes. You allow them, and just like, you know, as I believe we sit here is we invite our demon to have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And then I think my question is how to, yes, for that moment, you can touch the light. But now my question is, what about after? How do you cultivate, you know, of course, constant practice, but how do you cultivate that light? You know,
yes.
Become a really, yes. really solid.
Okay.
You know?
I offer you three things to practice. But the first thing is you cannot cultivate the light. Or the freedom or anything you call. If you can cultivate it, you can make it stronger, bigger, and that is not true light. That is not true freedom. That's true happiness. As true happiness is there. It has not, it doesn't have any cause. You cannot cultivate it. It is there. But you need a practice to get in touch with happiness which is there. The practice. You know, and the practice, the first practice I would like you to share with you is a very simple practice. It's a practice of coming back to yourself. Very concrete practice. To come back to yourself because you are there. You carry yourself with you in your life. And yourself, your body, when you may say, I am happy. That's correct English. But I love to say, I am happiness. Everything in you is happiness. Your body, your feeling, everything when you come back to your true self and every your feeling you touch is a feeling of happiness. Happiness has many forms and you only recognize a very small form of happiness. But true happiness is very rich. It is there, it's really there. It's so rich that you cannot make it bigger or smaller, stronger or weaker. It is there as you are there. So the first practice is to the exercise to come back to yourself. In Buddhism, we have many practices. Choose a practice to come back to yourself. My teacher, he taught the practice of breathing, of walking. Every step, you come back to yourself. Or just to be yourself. And how do you know that you are yourself? When you are truly yourself, you are me. You are truly yourself, you are your son. When you are truly yourself, you are your father. Even your father has passed away. You look at me, you see, Quang Lu. Hello, Quang Lu. I say, I'm not Quang Lu. I am Thich Nhat Hanh. I am my teacher. You say, I'm Quang Lu, because you don't see deep enough. When I'm myself, I am my teacher. I'm you. My name is John. My name is Maria. My name is your name. That's the first thing. And when you can exercise to come back to yourself, you come back to your true happiness. That's the second exercise. And it's a kind of food. It nourishes you. That happiness is so special. It's not happiness because you have a lot of money, you can have a lot of sex, or you can. It is very subtle, simple, solid, and wonderful happiness. And the third exercise you can do is once you have found yourself and you have found your happiness, at the same time you have found a true home. True home is a place where you don't have any fear anymore. You're not afraid for anything, including the fear for death, for dying. true home. And these three exercises, you can do every day. Temptation can be very strong. Prisoners too. He said to me, I have, before the practice, I dream about big dreams, big things. I had a lot of money, but I was truly happy. Now I don't have anything. I have to practice and recognize happiness in very small things, very simple but very solid. Because that happiness is so stable, that no other happiness can be stronger than that. Once you have found it, yourself, you can always come back to that happiness. You understand? Thank you.